Welcome back to the John Curley, Sherry Ellicker radio program. Andrew, how am I sounding? Am I sounding good? We had a technical glitch earlier.
Oh, no.
I think you sound fine right now. Maybe a couple hiccups here and there, but I think we'll survive.
Okay, because we could always switch back over to the other system if need be.
I think this is better than you dropping out for a minute total. So I think of the two, I would say this one is much more preferable.
Okay, very cool. Sherry Ellicker, how are you doing this fine afternoon? I didn't even ask you last hour. I just blew right past you, didn't even acknowledge your presence. I feel bad now. How are you?
No, I'm good. Thank you. I'm not listening to music, so I'm emotionally stable, which is really good. I haven't had a booster or a vaccine in a while, so that's another good thing. But, you know, there's some news on the horizon that's scaring me a little bit, Jack, about the virus, about Omicron. You want to hear about it?
I do.
All right. So there is this new variant that's out there. Okay. Remember, early in the pandemic, the virus, the whole coronavirus sort of mutated really slowly. And then we had the Delta variant, then we had the Omicron variant, and now we have something called BA.2.1.2.1. You want to do that with me? Yeah, I know. BA.2.1.2.1. And this is part of what they're calling the Omicron gang, okay? But the trouble is, it's 25% more transmissible. Right now, it's spreading here in the Northeast. And they say that it's evolving at this really rapid pace. So one biologist said that what they're thinking about is whether or not we should update vaccines at this point. The CDC says that the virus has already infected, and this came, they came out with this like last week or a couple of weeks ago, that already 200 million people have had COVID. And so they know that we have some, you know, level of protection and antibodies, but it's not enough to keep us from getting it again. So the concern is something called recombination, which is when two strains infect a host simultaneously. And so that's when, like, the Omicron gets entangled with another variant, and then it's called Omicron XE. Are you following along with your chart at home? Because it's all of these numbers and letters and everything else.
Yeah.
The takeaway from all of this is that, like it has been in the past, this could be on the move again, and it could be something that we need to think about. You just got back from a trip. I mean, you were on a plane. You were around a super spreader wedding. You had all kinds of contact with people. And there was a time, I remember a couple of months ago, when you considered maybe not going. You weren't quite sure what you were going to do. How did it go? Well, and, like, were you ever worried about any of these BA2, whatever, XE?
No.
OU812, nothing like that?
No, so I was not going to go because I didn't want to get boosted. Not because I, because in Maui they had this thing where if you wanted to go to Maui County, you had to show proof of boosted vaccination. And I didn't want to do that. And so that's when I was thinking about not going. But so Sarah, so we get there on a Wednesday. On Thursday, which was the day of the wedding, Sarah goes, "Man, my allergies or something is really, really getting to me." By Friday, Sarah has full-blown coughing, just a miserable existence, right? And so her mom pulls out a COVID test, takes the COVID test. It's negative. We get another one from the resort. She takes it. It's negative. So we go, okay, it's not COVID. She got laryngitis or something to that effect. So for the next, like, 7 days, everywhere Sarah and I go all over the island of Maui, Sarah's having basically coughing, like consumption, just cannot handle, just coughing all of the time. She's wearing a mask all of the time. But the crazy thing is that nobody seemed to care. Now, maybe a year ago, people would have been like, "Whoa, what are you doing? Coughing lady." But nobody seemed to mind at all. Now, she was wearing a mask, and the one thing that I kept joking about was that we needed to get her a t-shirt that said, "I have been tested twice. I don't have COVID," so that people would know that she was fine. But when we were actually on the island itself, it felt like nothing, like nobody cared about COVID. I didn't see any signs. Nobody was asking anybody to wear masks. No one was doing anything outside of just being normal people. I will say, though, that I did feel bad. I did have a realization because I haven't been on a plane. The last time I was on a plane was about 5 or 6 months ago. There are still people at airports who are still wearing masks, and I did feel bad for those people. I felt if anybody is quote unquote at risk, it would be people who work in that kind of thoroughfare, right?
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah, of course. And there are a lot of people that are still wearing masks, like at the grocery store. So people are still doing that at their own discretion. Did you have a great time? Was it? I'm sorry, Sarah got sick. That's the worst. And you know, it's funny that you mentioned this about the COVID, because Trevor went to New York. He came home deathly ill. I mean, really, really sick, right? And the first question was, do you think you have COVID? No, I tested myself. I don't have COVID. And then it was like this sigh of relief. And then I'm thinking, wait a minute, I don't want whatever this is. I know he doesn't have COVID, but, you know, it was like all I cared about was whether or not he had COVID. But he had this horrible upper respiratory thing, which I could have easily gotten and been just as sick. But I didn't seem to care so much about that. I just cared about the COVID part of it. But overall, even though Sarah was sick, was it a good trip?
Yeah, she was like a junior in college. She was just down for everything. You know, she was just nothing was going to hold her back from going out and having a good time. So we went literally all over the island. We went to every place that a human being could go. I did get an opportunity to see something, Sherry, that you and I have talked about previously, which is this like intense wealth disparity that goes on in this very beautiful place. We're on one side of the island where I was staying in Kihei. It's very nice. You've got houses and you've got resorts and not a lot of apartment buildings, but it's all very new and very nice and just enjoyable in every way, shape, and form. And then on the opposite side of the island is all the stack and pack housing and all the roads that look like they haven't been tended to in 10 years. And these like weird house shacks that have like vans that are backed into them that are like adjunct living rooms or adjunct bedrooms, like really I don't want to say poverty stricken areas, but that's what it looks like. It looks like, you know, people have old cars in front of their driveways that haven't run in probably 25 or 30 years that just sit there. So it was an interesting juxtaposition between really nice wealth and relaxation and then also the reality of many people's lives on this tropical island, which is poverty, right? Like really bottom of the barrel poverty. And it was interesting for me to take that in such a scenic area.
Right. And it is something that is difficult, I think, to reconcile when you're on vacation and you want to appreciate all the beauty and all of that, and then you see the disparity. You know, you see that there's the very, very wealthy that can afford to live on the beach and in these magnificent homes and all of this. And then, you know, you see other people that look like they have nothing. And it's a very strange kind of thing. I know that when we've been to the Caribbean several times and there was a time when we were going and we were in Barbados and Oprah has this unbelievable palace there right on the beach, and it's this gated kind of thing, and we drove by it on the tour bus wherever we were, and then right across the street there were like children outside just sitting in, you know, in these horrible dilapidated, you know, places, and you feel so awful, you feel so bad, you think I'm not someone that's advocating, you know, distributing your wealth or anything like that. This is not a statement about that. This is just that it is.
Sherry Ellicker, not a communist.
No, this is just that, you know, I think sometimes in some of these beautiful locations, you do see both of these things. Did you enjoy, like, did you go to a luau? Did you get any poi? Did you do any Hawaii type things? No, you didn't.
No.
Was the wedding a Hawaiian themed wedding?
It was a Filipino themed wedding, which is like, I guess it's kind of similar. So that was like, it was basically like a couple dozen Filipinos and then the white family. So it was the merger of these two cultures. The one thing I did notice is that, because Sarah's entire family is Filipino, is that the second that they started playing music and everybody was supposed to start dancing, all of the Filipinos immediately onto the dance floor. And they immediately start cutting it up and dancing and singing. And then all of the white people were a little bit more hesitant. They had to warm up to the idea of getting onto the dance floor. I did have a circumstance, though, where my psychic capabilities came full force, like my precognition abilities of just trying to assess a situation for what it is came out in a way that I think potentially saved me from getting into a fight. And it basically worked like this. Yeah. So it was maybe the fourth or fifth day that we were there. Sarah and I decided that we were going to go do yoga on this beach, this kind of isolated beach that's near the resorts, but you have to go around it and then down a particular path to get to it. Now, I want you to imagine that you're going down this path, and to your left is a route. It's a little trail that goes directly down to this little isolated beach. And there's a couple of park benches there, and there's like a shower that's there. And then to your right is the curated steps to go down to the beach. Now, the curated steps that were put there by the resort takes longer to get to the beach, but you have nice little steps that go all the way down. Now, to my left, when Sarah and I get there, there's a bunch of really big-looking local dudes, and I'm talking like Polynesian, maybe Samoan, maybe Hawaiian, I'm not really sure, but they're big, and they are, they're hanging out, and they're listening to music, and they are effectively blocking that little route to the left that get down to the beach. It's maybe 10 yards. So we can either walk through these dudes and get right down to the beach, or we can take the 1 minute walk down the steps down to the opposite side of the beach. Am I making sense here visually?
Yep, I can see it. Okay.
So Sarah goes, we stop and we look at these dudes. And again, there's a big group of them. There's some ladies with them too. And they're clearly having a party. And it's clearly for them and not for no one else. And I go, let's take the stairs. Let's go with the stairs. I don't want to cut through those dudes. There's something about those dudes. I think that there's a reason why they're basically blocking that entrance way down to the beach. And Sarah goes, yeah, I think that's a good idea. We get down to the beach, and then Sarah goes, oh, I forgot my water bottle. Can you go back and get it? And I go, you got it. So I go around. I go back up the steps. And as I'm coming back up the steps, there is a guy who looks like a you remember in the 80s movies how there's like the white guy who looks like he shouldn't be on the island? He's wearing socks and sandals and he's got the heavy sunscreen.
Yeah.
And he's got like the
white across his nose,
hat on.
You know. Yeah.
Yes, exactly. And he's wearing the Hawaiian print shirt that's open. And so it's basically that guy and his family. And he has decided, for whatever reason, to cut through this party that these guys are having. I don't know why. Maybe it's because he doesn't have my precog abilities. But he's trying to cut through. And so I am, because I'm nosy, I'm like listening to hear what's going on. And so he's trying to walk through this party. And one of the big Polynesian dudes, I mean, this dude was huge, Sherry. This is like me plus John Curley plus Jacob, throw in a little bit of Andrew. You know, this guy's got to be maybe 6'6", probably like 260, a huge dude. He steps right in front of the guy, and he says, hey, man, private party. And then that guy says, I'm just trying to get down to the beach, like totally oblivious, totally oblivious to what's going on. And the guy says, hey, man, private party, go around. And the guy's like, but the beach is right there. I just want to walk down to the beach. And then the guy puts his hand on the guy's chest and goes, this is a private party. This is our space. And the guy goes, okay, sorry. And he's like having an attitude with these guys. And I go, dude, just leave. Like, just take the hint at that point in time.
Hello.
Like, please. Like, I know that you just walked out of Weekend at Bernie's. Like, but please, like, just go down the steps, guy. And so he very dejectedly and in this very theatric way picks up his stuff and is like, well, I guess we got to go down the stairs because somebody's got to be a tough guy. And I'm looking back at these Polynesian dudes and I'm just thinking they were ready to toss right there with that dude over a path to the beach. You know what I mean? They were ready to fight over 10 yards worth of trailhead in order to defend what they have left. And that was kind of my takeaway from the whole trip in that little micro moment, if that makes sense. Two very different worlds existing in the same space with a lot of tension. You picking up what I'm putting down, Cherry?
Yeah, and it's a good thing that you had the premonition that if we break up this party, we may not be able to go dancing later with all the other Filipinos.
Right.
Yeah, I mean it really can be very tense there.
Yeah, and that's the impression that I got was, like, those are local guys. This is their spot. There's a reason that they picked it. It's because they want to have easy access to the beach. It behooves me and my wrists and my fragile bones and my face to go down the steps rather than confront these dudes. There's no reason for it. And I don't know what was going through, like, Leave It to Beaver's mind, but he thought that he was going to cut through those dudes.
You don't want to mess around with somebody else's turf. I mean, they have been there for a while, probably, and they probably have a bone to pick with all of the tourists that cut through their area, and they're done with it, you know? So, I mean, if you can't read the room on that, that guy, this isn't the first misstep this guy has made. I guarantee you, he's like the dummy in The Office that go, hey, what's going on, duh? You know, I mean, he's probably not very self-aware.
Right. It's like The Rock's extended family are all having a picnic, and he decides that he's going to be the one to try to ruin it for whatever reason. He's like, oh, I'm just going to walk through this party. But if I had Chris Sullivan with me, maybe then I would have felt safer. Traffic God, Chris Sullivan, huge pectoral muscles, huge biceps. You know that he can crush a coconut with his bare hands? You know that?
With one hand Chris or Sullivan? Two hands? Because I won't
one
be
hand.
Impressed if it's...
One-handed.
Oh, it's one hand? Okay, good. Wow. Chris.
Sorry,
I've
folks.
I've seen him do it with his toes, actually.
I only do that on special occasions, but all I got through this whole thing was, sorry, folks, park's closed. Moose out front, should have told you. Sorry, I just do that to Jack because I know he loves really obscure references. Sorry, Sherry. Not so sorry to you, Jake.
No apology necessary. I even got that reference.
Did you really?
Oh,
sweet.
Yeah,
hooray.
Believe it or not. Yes, I did.
Bucky's. Complete auto repair, muffler, brake, and radiator specialist. Wow, I am so good at this. They have a team of trained technicians performing complete automotive repair service on all makes and models of cars, trucks, RVs, 16 locations, including major metro areas, Tacoma, Bremerton, Everett, and Federal Way. Been in business for how many years, Andrew? 52. That's right. A+, my friend. Sherry, how tall is Trevor, just out of curiosity? I take him in my mind's eye, he looks, for whatever reason, a lot like Ron Livingston, the actor. Whenever you say Trevor, that's who I picture.
Who's Ron Livingston?
Tall is the man? He's a very good looking man. He's a very attractive man.
I'll have to look him up. Okay, I'll Google him. Trevor's not too tall. He's like, 5'8" or ish or so, and I'm only 5'2".
Wow.
So it feels like he's taller, than he
is. A giant.
Yeah, exactly. Compared to me.
So I am 5'11". In order to impress girls, though, I tell them I'm 6 feet tall. Jacob, how tall are you? You're a tiny man. You're a little short man.
Yeah, I'm somewhere between 5'8 and 5'9", but I just say 5'8 usually.
Yeah, and then Andrew, you are a hulking giant of a man, if I'm not mistaken.
I'm 5 feet 10 and 3/4 inches.
Oh, wow.
Oh, boy.
But to impress, only to say 5'11", as we all do.
You round it up, guys.
So, because Trevor is 5'8", would you ever want him to get taller, or are you fine with his height?
No, it doesn't bother me a bit, because if I was 6'3", then maybe I'd think, might want to even that up a little bit. But no, it doesn't bother me at all. But I know that there is, for guys, being on the shorter side can be a little bit tricky, right? I mean, every guy wants to be a little bit taller, or some do at least. And this is a story about this guy, or these guys, I guess. They say hundreds of people do this every year, this leg lengthening surgery. And it's the orthopedic surgeon does it. And basically what they do is they put an incision in your bone, your leg bones, and then they put a rod in there and lengthen the leg. and it takes, you know, a long time to heal. I think maybe the guy that we're talking about has some comments on this, doesn't he?
Yeah. Jacob, we got that audio cut of Victor.
And I don't know if this is a guy that's mostly, but this is someone who started a podcast about the limb lengthening process. And but yes, one of the guys mentioned.
So really leg lengthening is basically, a surgery, an operation where you can, it's a voluntary surgery where you opt in to get taller, basically. And to do it, basically the doctor, the orthopedic surgeon, is going to break your bones, as rough as that sounds. And then they're going to, elongate the bone through a medical device. And essentially you just let the bone heal. And, if everything goes right and you do your therapy and rehab correctly, you'll be anywhere from 2 to 5 inches taller. And this is an amazing surgery, a complete breakthrough. For years, people have been basically, suffering from height dysphoria, and it's been, a complete challenge. People have been using shoe lifts and all kinds of stuff. And now to finally have a surgical breakthrough where you can just completely change your life and, your outlook on life is completely amazing.
I'm not going to come down on these guys because I'm on a litany of steroids. Like, I am juiced to the gills, Sherry, which is something that you and I talk about a lot.
Okay.
I am juiced out of my mind on so many different steroids. And so I understand when he says, like, height dysphoria. We might scoff at that and go, height dysphoria, little man. I think that medical science is, like, there is a way to better living and there is a way to improve the way that we feel about ourselves. And if that is what some dudes want to do, now I'm all for it. But I think the problem is where is the line? Like, for instance, Sherry, like, my concern would be somebody gets, well, I got to be taller, and now I need better cheekbones, and now I need an angel's kiss dimple on my chin, just like Ron Livingston, and I need to have bigger eyes. You know what I mean?
You become addicted maybe to it,
Yeah, exactly my point. Now, am I going to do anything past steroids? I don't know, but I think that to have kind of a am I making sense here that there's like a limit on how much we are willing to try to improve ourselves to solve these issues? Otherwise, we end up looking like, I don't know, like the modern day Ken doll only as a human being.
Well, that would we could do worse than Ken. But I think this is a weird story because of the guy that they feature in this story. And he didn't go to extremes where he went and did a facelift after he got his legs lengthened and then he got, a butt lift or anything like that. It wasn't that. But what he did in order to get this surgery is what makes it even weirder. He was humiliated at work, he said, all the time. He was degraded and people were kind of disparaging to him because he was a shorter guy. And he felt like in the workplace, height is a real advantage. So in order to raise the money, the $75,000 to get this, he decided that he was going to get an OnlyFans account. You know what an OnlyFans account is, right?
All right.
But he participates in something called financial domination, which is a humiliation kink, they say, where clients pay him to degrade them, and then he takes their money. So he, instead of earning the money, whatever, he did exactly to people what people did to him in order to raise the money to get his legs lengthened so he would no longer be degraded.
It's very Shakespearean.
Cha-cha-cha. Right? Yeah. I mean, it's just like, it's just so, so bizarre to me that this guy would participate in this OnlyFans humiliation thing in order to get something done so he would no longer be humiliated.
I want to stop being bullied because bullying is bad. In order to do that, I'm going to be a professional bully.
Right. I'm going to take money to bully somebody else. Yeah. So I guess he's feeling better about himself, but that's it.
If I was writing a script and I put this character in that with the exact same storyline and I sent it to an editor, I'm almost positive that editor would be like, the poetic nature of this is like a little on the nose. Do you think you could make him have something else to get the money back? Because it's like a little too A little on the nose. Like, I think the audience is going to scoff at this. Like, oh, he's a bullied at work, so he becomes the bully. Don't you think that's a little Star Wars? Don't you
and
think
then he
little...
does something so he no longer can be bullied, but he doesn't give the money back to people so they can no longer be bullied. And, yeah, and then there's like, that.
Like, he becomes a counselor with his newfound confidence and height, and he goes to all these kinksters, and he asks them to stop being bullied and giving money away. Like, it's a bit much. Great rom-com, though. I think they make a great rom-com sketch. Yeah?
Yeah, with Diane Keaton. Yeah.
With Diane Keaton. Diane Keaton could be in it. Chris Sullivan, how tall are you, my friend? I know that you're at least 6'8", right? 36
yeah, I was well, actually 6'9".
6'9", that's right.
Yeah. So, yeah, I was going to chime in and say, thank goodness I don't have to worry about that being as tall as I am. I still can't dunk, even though I'm 6'9", but, which yeah. is odd.
You're listening to the John Curley, Sherry Elicker radio program. Jack Stein sitting in after a long and deserved vacation. Sherry, I need to ask you this question, because when I talk to women often, which I do mm-hmm. regularly... I get very, very distinct and sharp opinions about Meghan Markle and Prince Harry, which basically goes like this. Either they are detested, despised, hated as individuals, or they are beloved. They are victims. They need to be lifted up back into their ranks as the finest amongst us. And when I heard that they're shows respectively had been canceled from Netflix, and then we talked about it, and I heard your reaction to this. I heard it in your voice. I thought to myself, we have to get to the bottom of this. Why is it that Harry and Meghan are so divisive to so many people? Why is this?
Well, I think it's because they are such hypocrites. They made such a big deal about not wanting to be a part of the royal family because of what it brings to you, which is so much scrutiny and living in a fishbowl, and the press is relentless and all of those things. So you would think that they would go off to lead a quiet life somewhere, leave the royal family and be done with it all. But no, what do they do? Initially, what they do is they start their own website to try to cash in on their titles. Then they move to California, where they immediately get back into the Hollywood swing of things and start on these projects. And then all they do is complain. They complain about the royal family. They complain about this and that. And it's just, I find them nauseating. I was happy to hear that Netflix dropped one of their projects. It was a project called Pearl, and that it was an animated series. It was created by Meghan, and it's about a 12-year-old girl who meets influential women throughout history. It was still in development, and Netflix said, hey, you know what? We don't have the cash anymore. We just lost 200,000 subscribers. They think they could lose up to 2 million in the coming months, and their shares have dropped over 40%. So a lot of stuff is on the chopping block. And so I was happy to hear this. After Netflix paid them an exorbitant amount of money, it was like $100 million to develop these projects. Yeah. None of them have even been finished yet, but they have started these projects. So I was happy to hear that.
I don't see – so this is, I think you're right about this, Sherry. So they leave the royal family. They go to the Commonwealth of Canada. They're there for about 2.5 minutes in the royal estate that they were gifted, this like multi-million dollar palatial mansion in Canada. And then they say, we're gonna pick up stakes and try to strike our fortune California way. And then they move to Los Angeles. And then instantly become the thing that they said they wanted a quiet life. They wanted to get away from the celebrity. They wanted to raise their kids. They wanted to be normal people. And then instantly they're going to climate change conventions on private jets, chastising the rest of us normal people, say, you with your gas-powered vehicles, we need to affect real change across the world. Basically being gross, disgusting hypocrites. And now their deal gets canceled by Netflix, and I think to myself, isn't that poetic justice that nobody wants to hear from you anymore? We don't want to hear you talk about climate change. We don't want to hear you talk about the royal family. We don't want to hear you talk about a 12-year-old girl who goes around meeting women throughout history. That sounds like a terrible idea for a show. They already did that. They already did that show, only there was a dog in it, and it was called Wishbone. Do you remember this show? Remember Wishbone?
Yes, I do remember Wishbone. Yeah, I do. And you're right. And it isn't an original idea. And they aren't original at all about anything they're doing. I am surprised to hear, Jack, that you find people that still think they're beloved. I think they just generate an instant eye roll with everybody. Like, ugh, God. I don't know anybody that really finds them admirable anymore.
I know a lot of women that read, like, the magazines that are on the side of the grocery aisle. You know what I'm talking about? They read the People and the Glamour and they read those magazines and can you believe that the Queen would say something mean about Meghan? And I go, yeah, she's a nasty old lady who's a monarch. Like, of course, she's going to say mean things about everybody. She's probably, like, a nasty 90-year-old woman. Probably says mean things about her dogs. I mean, she's not a nice lady. Yes, I can believe it. Can you believe she said mean things about her grandson? Yep, yeah, I can. Yeah, totally, 100%. She's like 140 years old. She's been queen forever. She's bitter and resentful and seems like a pretty nasty human being. Yeah, totally fine.
Well, you'd take my disdain for them and raise it like 8,000% with you and the whole royal family.
I don't have a lot of sympathy for a lady who's like still the quote-unquote queen. I have none whatsoever.